Hello, I'm Lucy Cox, the Associate Director for Interdisciplinary Discourse.
And I'm Annalisa Paul, Creative Agency Lead.
We're both from the School of Arts at the University of the West of England in Bristol, and we're talking about New Wave Student Creative Agency.
It's a co-designed positive action initiative that we've set up in our school. New Wave provides professional opportunities for students who face intersecting barriers, such as those related to ethnicity, gender, disability, age, and socioeconomic status.
Interestingly, New Wave should not work. It's the students with the least or no experience and those facing the most barriers who get the work. Clients don't select the student or get to see their work, and they're also contractually bound to pay no matter what. So how is it not only surviving but flourishing?
It's based on three simple things: trust, respect, and a values match.
Before we talk about exactly the way in which New Wave works, it might be interesting to think and consider the sector and some of the changes that have happened in the sector before New Wave was established. People will remember that we used to have an attainment gap, and that terminology was changed to an awarding gap. Attainment gap, the language used there, focuses on the student being the problem. And when we move to awarding gap, it focuses the responsibility on the institution to actually support students, and that maybe there's a suggestion that the curriculum or the pedagogic approach in some learning and teaching is the challenge itself rather than the student being the problem. I think that signifies a real key change. Around the similar time, we started having the Graduate Outcomes Survey, which feeds into the Teaching Excellence Framework and the way in which university rankings and league tables are listed. The B3 metric, which was a new indicator within the data that we get back from the Graduate Outcomes Survey, it was a way of assessing the outcomes of students from different demographic groups. So rather than comparing student subjects against relative student subject, we're actually making sure that all demographic groups had equitable benefits from university. And this has been a real challenging one for the sector. And that, linked to the league tables, linked to this emphasis on the institution potentially presenting barriers to students, has been this kind of shift, this cultural shift in understanding that different students need different support. And that's how we got into positive action and new activities that we can do that can be controlled within institutions to actually support students in different ways. That's what we based our business proposal on when we got funded to set New Wave up. It was that within the School of Arts, we had a significant number of students with intersectional needs, and that actually access into the creative industries was difficult as well. So that was the story which kind of led up to and the rationale for why we needed funding to support an initiative like New Wave. It'll be really interesting to then think about why we were seeing such significant awarding gaps, specifically within our professional practice modules in the School of Arts. And on looking at that and interrogating that information and the curriculum, we were able to see that we were asking our students to do three quite complex but highly necessary things. One was navigating closed industry networks. The second was communicating professionally with unknown people. And the third was then demonstrating reflexivity so that they could grow personally and professionally.
At programme level, we have John Popperdeck here, who's a senior lecturer in filmmaking. John, before New Wave, how would you have navigated those opportunities coming in for professional practice?
In the past, if I've wanted to bring students on board, I have tended to cherry pick the students I know who can deliver that kind of project work. I'm currently engaged in another project, working with collaboratively with New Wave. The process has been slightly different because bringing on New Wave students, I don't cherry pick. I'm given the students that that I'm provided by the agency. I'm working with a group of New Wave students on a current project. Opportunities will come to us from all directions. We naturally want to look good, and so we will push our most able students in that direction. That's not necessarily how we should be working. The most able students will get work when they leave us, no matter what. You know, I think it's really incumbent on us to be as inclusive as we can be in terms of opportunity, you know, and to not push our most able, our best students always at these opportunities. And so it's refreshing to work in that way. you know, to provide kind of some opportunities kind of to students who might not get them, I think is kind of is valuable.
Thanks, John, for explaining how that kind of recruitment works within a programme. On top of this, we know that creative industries graduates are four times more likely to be self-employed. And in that case, then they're navigating these closed industries. We also know some other really key pieces of research which demonstrate the barriers that students are facing. Lucy, can you tell us a bit more about them?
There's so much research into representation and the breakdown of the creative industries. We've pulled out three that we've been looking at and that we quote quite often. So the King's College Creative Majority Report from 2021 talks really clearly about representation, essentially saying that the creative industries or the UK creative industries are unrepresentative of the population, particularly at senior levels. There's also the AHRC Policy and Evidence Centre, which incredibly explicitly talked about class crisis being in the arts. It goes on to explain the low number of working class origin workers in the creative industries and there being significant barriers for women, disabled people and the global majority. And just to hone in there, again, you were talking about our students going into self-employment. Creative industries graduates are four times more likely to be self-employed. And we know that with that comes all these other complexities around having financial backing, having confidence, having networks of people that you can work with to create your network and get business. So when we start to look at you not seeing people that are like you in industry, that it's difficult to navigate and access that industry. And also, if you want to go on your own, then you need to have a certain backing behind you. We can see why it can be really difficult for students to get to their desired outcome.
Yeah, and that was all part of the scoping phase of New Wave. And included in that, we looked at our own data from our own business intelligence team, looking at the protected characteristics of students within the school. And we could see there, obviously, permanent kind of barriers in terms of protected characteristics that students had identified with and the numbers behind them. But then talking to students, we get that qualitative research and you start to realise that the data is missing so much. And there's lots of transient barriers as well that can happen while students are at university. So trauma, difficulties in navigating things like accommodation or general stress or mental health illnesses that are happening for a short period of time. All of these things impact students' ability to reach their potential in their professional practice module. And then we look at that kind of as a rounded picture. So we're looking at these four key barriers. Societal, so these might include things like racism and gender, disabilism, classism, even international students working restrictions on their visas. Sector barriers, like closed networks that we've discussed and lack of representation. Institutional barriers, like lack of resources, digital poverty and siloed working. And personal barriers, which might include things like neurodivergence and health issues. Being a carer or a care leaver, socioeconomic barriers and a sense of belonging. All of these things are what we call intersecting barriers. And so what New Wave does is look at the person in front of us, and if they are telling us that they need help, then we believe them and we work with them.
I mean, it's not surprising then that when you look at that variation of different factors that could be affecting the individuals that we teach, that teaching and learning at higher education, but at all levels really, is a really complex thing. This type of model of looking at what individuals need and being able to scope out projects which will help them get specifically the experience they need based on the challenges they're facing is incredibly valuable. What type of opportunities and work happens through New Wave?
There's three key things: freelance creative opportunities, accessible networking, and one-to-one coaching. And the way students come to us is through self-referral. So we will go into a professional practice module from the programme and present that New Wave exists. So students can just self-refer and apply for any job that they see. It doesn't have to be a film job for a film student. If the student has the skills and the availability and they need the support, we'll give it to them.
We know that students come and they have challenges or barriers or intersectional needs. What checks are in place? How do you know if they self-refer?
Well, we don't always know.
Do you trust them?
There's a lot of trust involved, yeah. Work comes into New Wave through three different streams, through large organisations like the NHS, for example, by corporate social responsibility, through small to medium-sized enterprises who have a values-driven business model, and through startups. Students will receive a job advert via our Instagram or through the programmes, and if they're interested in that, they will apply to New Wave. I'll then have a chat with every single student who's applied and prioritise those with the most need in terms of they've had the least creative work experience to date. I'll match them with the client and support them throughout that journey of the project in a coaching and facilitating style approach to work with their intrinsic motivations and make sure that the client gets the outcome they need and the student has an incredible learning experience.
Where do the budgets come from for students to get paid for these projects?
Because of the socioeconomic barriers experienced by a lot of students working with New Wave, we make sure that every student gets paid for the work that they do. We don't take a cut of that. And the budget comes either from the client or in situations where the learning gain is really good, but the client hasn't got a budget, we may use university funds through something called the employability bursary, which is for students from households where their income is under 30,000.
When we've spoken about New Wave in conferences and to other colleagues in other institutions, we've heard a lot of stories about agencies that have either struggled to get off the ground or have stopped after a few years because they haven't been funded institutionally. And I think it's really interesting to reflect that there is this need for institutions to be bold and take risks and fund positive action schemes like New Wave. But it goes beyond that, doesn't it? It's about leaders actually operationally putting that type of strategy into their plans, into their school and college plans, and continuing to support it. And as we've experienced through running New Wave, that you don't always know exactly the direction of travel. You just have to believe that it's doing the right things.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. It's collaboration and developing those networks. And it's the ability for leaders to trust that the agility and the experimentation and the innovation will lead to positive change.